Congregation, with the help of the Lord, I preach the word of God tonight from Exodus 12. I read verses 26 and 27. Exodus 12, 26 and 27. And it shall come to pass, when your children shall say unto you, What mean ye by this service? That ye shall say, It is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, when he smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses, and the people bowed the head and worshipped. We also use the Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 29, question and answer 78. And the title for the sermon is, What is the meaning of this service? What is the meaning of this service? Congregation, it happened that there was a woman who was married to a very hard and cruel man. She found out over time. So what could she do? She decided to try to win him with sacrificing kindness, serving in a very loving way. But instead of making this man soft and kind toward his wife, it made him mad. More and more, the more kindness he showed, the more anger came out of his heart. It's terrible, isn't it? Can we blame this wife for it? No, you say, certainly not. She did the right thing. But in a certain way you could say, well, she caused him to become harder, more angry. I agree, she is not to be blamed. Is that not what we have to say about this situation in Egypt? But the Lord is commanding by Moses and Aaron, commanding Pharaoh that he would let his people go to serve him in the wilderness. And Pharaoh disobeyed. And the Lord was sending his servants again and again. He was showing his power, his might. And Pharaoh became harder. God hardened the heart of Pharaoh. We cannot blame the Lord for it. He's good. He did the right thing. It was the wickedness of the heart of Pharaoh, the disobedience in this cruel man. You would say, well, but what about others? Is their heart better if they are softened? No, that's the sovereign will of the Lord, that He is softening their hearts. But we cannot blame God if our heart is hard and cold, their resistance against Him, and it becomes harder in listening and to the word and hearing the gospel. No, we should blame ourselves, not hide behind it, not hide behind our impossibility, but confess the guilt in it, the depravity of our hearts. You could say, if you take wax and put it in the sun, it will melt. If you take clay, it will become hard by the same sun. Isn't that what happens in this world, where the Son of Righteousness, Christ, is shining, some get hardened, some get softened and humbled before the Lord, the same son. We are to be blamed if we don't bow under the Lord, if we harden like Pharaoh. Oh, what a warning there is in this history. The Lord was sending his servants to Pharaoh. Thus said the Lord, let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness. He didn't obey. And what could they do? They were under his power. Egypt was the most powerful empire in the world in this time of history. Pharaoh had such a strong and total power over Israel. They couldn't do anything. They were helpless. Their situation seems to be hopeless. Isn't that a powerful picture of man caught in the slavery of sin, under the power of Satan, the prince of this world? And there the gospel is preached. God is sending his servants in this world so that his people will be set free, delivered. Seems to be hopeless. It is from our side. But it will happen, because it's the word of God. Aaron spake all the words of the Lord, and the people believed, and they bowed their heads, and they worshipped. Because the Lord says, I have seen the affliction of my people. He heard their crying, and he sent his word of salvation. And the people believed, they bowed their heads. What about you? Did you hear the gospel, the preaching of salvation by faith in Christ and his sacrifice? Did you bow to rest in this word? It would be a total salvation. Like it says in Exodus 10, there shall not an hoof be left behind. They would be delivered to serve the Lord in the wilderness. Well, that's happening right now in this world. God is at work to set his people free from sin and guilt, from darkness and Satan. Do you think it's impossible that you will be delivered from your guilt, your sin? That you will be set free from the power of depravity and Satan? Well, why do you think that? Probably because you look to yourself. I understand. But you should listen to the word of the Lord, and that it might be like the people, they bow their heads and they worship and surrender. Oh Lord, if thou art saying it, then it will happen. Thou art God. They would be set free, and there shall not an hoof be left behind. Isn't that true? Do we not see that in Scripture in many ways, written in the word of the Lord, that God will save his people, and none will be left behind of those that he has chosen, elected from eternity? He will call them, he will draw them, and he will set them free by faith in Christ, in his work. How many times did you hear it? Is it too difficult to understand? What is a trouble if your soul is still caught in darkness and sin? Can we blame God? No, certainly not. It will happen, and it will be to the glory of the Lord. The Lord would show His power. And Pharaoh is hardened, and that had to serve this high purpose, that the power of God would be seen. And where do we see the power of the Lord more? There came a certain climax there in Egypt, you could say. In that last night, when the firstborn died, the angel of destruction was there. And there was the climax. Pharaoh had to acknowledge that not he was God. He was worshipped like a god by the Egyptians. And there God showed His power in a way that Pharaoh had to beg that the people would leave. Where is the climax in world history of salvation? Is it not at a cross where Christ, the Son of God, dies, nailed to the cross, shedding His blood, but crying at the moment that He is dying, crying, "It is finished." There is the power of His victory seen. There He is breaking the power of Satan and sin and death, because He brings the sacrifice for sin, for guilt, so that Satan could no longer demand the death of those that hide in Christ. His power is broken, like the power of Pharaoh was broken. When Christ died upon the cross, and He resurrected, so that His victory is seen. And this is something that we should never forget. The Lord wanted His people to remember this great deliverance, delivery out of Egypt, that He delivered His people, that He has broken the power of Pharaoh. And that's why the Lord gave the Passover. And there's teaching in this, you could say, the sacrament of the Old Testament, if you want to understand the Lord's Supper better. What is the heart of the sacrament? What is the purpose of the sacrament given by the Lord? Is it not that the Lord wants us to live in communion with Him? That we would receive by faith that saving power in our hearts and give Him the glory to live in communion with the Lord, to receive that saving power. The Lord commanded the people to have the Passover every year. We read about it in this chapter, Exodus 12. It was such an amazing thing what the Lord did, that He set His people free, that He delivered them out of slavery, out of death, out of darkness, to bring them in the promised land. And they saw their enemy, Pharaoh, dead in the Red Sea. And they had to remember in a way that they would experience by faith this miraculous power of salvation of the Lord. I recently read a book about the Second World War. Someone wrote it who was for years locked up in a concentration camp. And he is trying to describe it. He says, it's too bad. It's so terrible, I cannot even find words to describe it. And if you read a book, sometimes you feel like, I lay it aside. Cannot sleep tonight. What happened there? The cruelty, the suffering, the hunger, the coldness. And he says, in this situation, you get to know how you are, how everybody in a certain way was fighting to survive. That you wouldn't think, that you did not think that it would be possible that you could, things you did there, steal food from each other, and all those things. Yeah, he said it was like hell. At the same time, he said it was like, there was something like heaven. It was like, if you see a lighthouse during the day, you see maybe a dot of light. If you see the same lighthouse during the night, there's a white beam of light in the darkness. And that's what I also experienced. He said that God came so near in his suffering. He survived. And then he said, after that, I would go back to Germany, to that concentration camp, once in the 2 or 3 years. He said, and I would like to go alone. It was hard. If I went there, oh, it came all back. I could feel, almost physically feel, and that suffering, that fear. We were caught in fear, hunger. It was cold. We were starving. And he would experience it. I thought, yeah, it must have been terrible to go there. Could make you physically sick and weak and suffering. All that memory, that association comes in seeing that place again. And now I thought, if you turn that in the other direction, if you think about Passover, that the Lord wanted the people to sit down every year to take a lamb. They had to take a lamb on the 10th of the day of that month. And then to take it with them till the 14th of the day. Oh, that's also something, children. What a beautiful animal. It had to be a perfect lamb. They had to take it with them out of the flock. You're probably going to love that animal. And after 4 days, 14th, it had to be killed. So the father had to take a sharp knife to kill that lovely animal. Oh, that hurts. Yeah. They had to be aware that salvation costs a price. The price of the blood of the lamb. And then they had to cook the lamb and to eat it, to have the Passover. And the children would say, well, what service is this? What is the meaning of this service? And the father had to explain. And would it not come back to their minds? How the Lord had delivered them. Oh, the joy! Oh, to experience the power of God to overcome that terrible enemy Pharaoh, to break his power, to set him free out of slavery and darkness and death. And so every year they would sit down. And like that man that went back to the concentration camp, would have the experience of fear and suffering. God would bless it to those that in faith would use this Old Testament sacrament to bring the joy of being delivered back to their hearts, so that they would have communion with God and rejoice in Him. And they had to tell their children. So if you think about the Lord's Supper, you see this happening in church, children. And the purpose is that God's children will, in a new and fresh way, experience the joy, the power of being saved by the blood of Christ. Yeah, they also had to eat the bitter herbs to remind their suffering, their slavery. It's not only joy at the Lord's table, there's also sorrow. I see there the price that Christ paid. That perfect Lamb of God. The family had to take it with them. And then it had to be killed. The pain. That Christ, the Son of God, had to die upon the cross to set me free. Oh, what an amazing thing that God wants us to live in communion with Him. To receive by faith that saving power, so that He would give glory to Him. How good is the Lord! He knows what we need. He knows that we need that power to be drawn out of this world to live with Him. Life has to be a life in communion with the Lord by looking onto the cross every day, by looking onto Christ and Him crucified daily in the morning when I rise to remember His sacrifice, His power to save me this day from the attacks of Satan, from the temptations of this world, from the depravity of my flesh. And in the evening, when I'm ashamed about myself, to look unto Christ and to find peace in His blood. And the Lord knows how weak we are. And in His goodness, He did not only give His word, but He also gave us His sacrament, the Lord's Supper, so that we would experience this power of God, a saving power in Christ by faith. So tell me, if your children ask you, parents, what is the meaning of this service? Children, I would like to encourage you to ask this question to your parents. What is the meaning of this service? Why do we have the Lord's Supper? Why do people come and sit at a table and eat the bread and drink the wine? Could you explain it? Could you explain it in a way that they can see that it is for you something so precious? Experience there that saving power of the Lord. Could you explain it to your children like the fathers had to do in Israel? And it shall come to pass when your children shall say unto you, what mean ye by this service? That ye shall say, it is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, when He smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses. Is that miracle in that last night in Egypt where the angel of destruction came. Oh, they had the blood, and their fathers had to put the blood on the post of the door, and behind the blood they would be safe. The angel of destruction would come, enter the houses of the Egyptians. If there was not the blood, and the firstborn died. And we have to see that this destruction would not only come to the Egyptians, but also to the Israelites. If they would not have the blood put at the post of the door, so they all, in a certain way, were under the wrath of the Lord. And the only way to escape was to take the blood and to hide behind the blood. They had to stay inside. They should not leave the house. There they would be safe. So we have to pay attention to the fact that not only the lamb was slain, but the blood had to be put to the doorpost. So we can see there had to be the application of the blood. Isn't that true? It's not only that we hear about Christ and He who is sacrificed upon the cross, died upon the cross, but we need the application of the blood to our hearts. What is it? What does it mean? It means that we hide behind the blood, that we are convinced about our needs, that we are convinced about the reality that we only can be saved by the blood of Christ. If there would be a family that would think, well, yeah, we stay inside, there's going to happen something that's dangerous, but we will be safe in our houses the way it is. We don't need the blood to put it on the post of the door. They would not be safe. The firstborn would die. Only behind the blood. If you trust in what you have in yourself, your self-righteousness, you will perish forever. If you trust in any experience that you had, you will perish. If you trust in the fact that you live a decent life, you will perish. If you trust in the fact that you confess the truth, you will perish. Only if Christ is precious for your heart, that you by faith rest in His work, that you trust in what He has accomplished, that is security. There is an old Jewish story about two girls in a certain family in that very night. And one of the girls is sitting down in a peaceful way and starting to eat her portion of the roasted lamb. But the other girl is walking around in the house, very nervous, and she says, "I cannot understand how you can sit there so peacefully and eat. I'm so afraid about what's happening this night. Oh, if that angel of destruction would enter the house." But the girl that is sitting down says, "It will not happen." "Well, how do you know?" "Well, because the Lord has spoken, and the blood is at the doorpost, so it will not happen. We are secure, because God has told us so." She rested in the Word of God, and she was secure behind the blood. And that's the difference. If there is faith, if there is that surrender to the Lord, if we hide in what Christ has done, there alone is security. That simple obedience of faith. It's so hard for a proud sinner. It's so hard for a proud human being. We want to have something that we perform, something in our hands. But faith means to stand before the Lord with empty hands. Only guilt, only debt, only sin, only corruption, only depravity, and nothing at my side that I can rest in. Nothing that I can find security in. Helpless in myself, powerless, hopeless at my side. No way that I can fight Pharaoh. No way that I can conquer sin. No way that I can escape this darkness of slavery in Egypt. No way. I have to give up. I have to admit. What about you? Did you not see that it is hopeless at your side? Did you try to conquer sin, to live a holy life? And did you succeed? Certainly not. If you think you do, it's blindness. There is no way at our side. You have to give up. You have to surrender. You have to admit, oh Lord, I cannot do it. Like the people in Egypt, they cry to the Lord. And the Lord did hear their crying. And He was sending His word of salvation. And they bowed their head. And then it was hard for them to see the plagues coming. It was hard for them to experience that the yoke became more difficult that Pharaoh was putting up on them. But the Lord did keep His word. And He did set them free, breaking the power of Pharaoh. God is the same. To surrender to the Lord. To look unto Christ. To admit that you cannot do it. Why would you not? Why would you not sink down on this rock of ages in the humble confession, O Lord, I sinned. Do you not see it? Is it not clear in the Word in how many ways we all have sinned against the good and gracious God? And just confess, O Lord, save my soul. And just look to Christ. That's the way that the Lord has proclaimed in His word. It's the only way. It's a perfect way. And when they were saved, they were singing at the Red Sea, the glory of God. That's the only way that God will receive the glory. Why would you perish? There is such a perfect salvation in Christ, full and free for sinners. Let us sing before we continue. Let us sing Psalter 66, stanza 1 through 4. 66, stanza 1. Ever are my longing eyes toward the Lord, whose watchful care, when my foes their plots devise, keeps my feet from every snare. 66, stanza 1 through 4. congregation, we can see it in our minds, we can see it in our imagination, how the Father is standing there and taking a bunch of hyssop and dipping it in the blood that is in the basin and striking the lintel and the two side posts with the blood. And the children watching it and asking the question, what is the meaning of this service? And the same question we can ask about the Lord's Supper. What does it mean? It was a real question in the time of the Reformation. There was real confusion about it. And so the Catechism is asking the question, do then the bread and wine become the very body and blood of Christ? And that's the teaching of the Roman Catholic Church. At the moment that the priest is speaking, this is my body, when he's breaking the bread, taking the bread, then at that moment it is changing, although you cannot see it, but it's changing, according to the teaching of the Roman Catholic Church, into the very body. And the same with the wine, changing into the very blood of Christ. Is that true? And if it's not true, what is the meaning of this service? And the Catechism says, no, it is not true. Not at all. Then they bring up the other sacrament, the sacrament of baptism. It's like they ask the question, well, does the Roman Catholic Church teach that the water in baptism is changing into the blood of Christ? No, they don't teach that. As the water in baptism is not changed into the blood of Christ, neither is the washing away of sin itself, only a sign and confirmation thereof, appointed of God, so the bread in Lord's Supper is not changed in the body of Christ. In other words, well, isn't it strange that the Roman Catholic Church is teaching that transubstantiation, the change of the substance of the bread into the body of Christ and the wine into the blood of Christ, and they don't teach it about the water of baptism? So that's the first thing they bring up. It's strange. It's something that is against the word of God to teach this about the Lord's Supper. And the other thing is, it does not mean that by the washing away, by the baptism, it does not mean that a sin is washed away. So we should not think that the Lord's Supper as such is the way to have forgiveness of sin. Another teaching of the Roman Catholic Church, another heresy. If you receive the sacrament, then at that same time you receive grace. It doesn't matter if you believe or not, it comes with the sacrament. No, says the Catechism, that's not the case with baptism. That's not the case also with the Lord's Supper. It is not changed in the body of Christ. But it is. The question is, of course, why does the word say? Why does Christ say, this is my body? Well, the Catechism says, it's agreeably to the nature and the properties of the sacrament. So, how do we understand that? Why does the word say that? It has to do with the nature of the sacrament. So in the sacrament, the Lord is coming and giving us the sign and the confirmation of the work of Christ by the sacrifice of his body upon the cross. That's why we call it the body of Christ. In the sacrament, we receive the benefit out of his sacrifice upon the cross. So, it is showing us the sacrifice upon the cross. But it is not changed into the literal body of Christ. Let's try to understand it by another scripture word. If the Lord Jesus is saying, I am the true vine, that does not mean that Christ says, at this moment I'm changed to be a vine, but he is showing whom he is and what he is doing. Like a vine is giving to the branches what is needed to bear fruit, that's how Christ is giving to those that believe in him what is needed to bear fruit to the glory of God. So the Lord is showing in the sacrament his saving work in the sacrifice of Christ. Like in the Old Testament, the Lord is showing in the slaughtering of a lamb his saving work for his people, in the putting of the blood to the post of the doors. So the Lord is showing in the sacrament of the Lord's Supper his saving work. Like in the Old Testament, the people were reminded about the salvation of the Lord. So in the New Testament, we are reminded about the salvation by the sacrifice of Christ. But it is more. It's more than just being reminded. It happens by a meal. Like in the Old Testament, the family had to sit down and to eat the lamb. And that way they had communion with the Lord. They lived in a way that they experienced that saving power of the Lord. And so in the Lord's Supper, there is not only that we remember, but there is also the receiving of that saving power. Like when we have a meal, we have communion. There is an amazing unity, a mysterious, a secret unity between my soul and Christ at that moment that I eat the bread. It's not because of a literal change, but it is because of faith, because of tasting, because of experiencing this bread and this wine strengthening and feeding my body, that I receive strength in my soul. What a gift it is of the Lord, and how much we need it. And we can see that Satan hates it, that he tried to bring confusion to the church about the Lord's Supper in the time of Reformation. So that this strengthening of the soul would not happen. So that my soul would not give glory to Christ, but just look to the signs in a superstitious way. And the Lord has given us in the time of the Reformation the clear teaching about the sacrament of the Lord, so that I would find peace in a new and fresh way, that I would experience something of that amazing saving power of Christ, that I would believe again that the blood of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is washing and cleansing from all sin. Do you look forward to the Lord's Supper? Do you feel, I need this communion with the Lord? How good is the Lord that he wants us to live in communion with him, that he is inviting his children to sit there and to taste and to experience that he has saved your soul from sin. So in the Old Testament there was the slaughtering of the lamb, the eating of it with the bitter herbs to remember the suffering to remember that saving work behind the blood. And also there was the eating of the unleavened bread. And that was, of course, it had to do with the hurry that the people were in. They should not delay. They had not time to wait. That process of the leavening of the bread. They had to leave Egypt. And the Egyptians wanted them to go immediately. But later on, we read in the first letter of Paul to the Corinthians, "Purge out therefore the old leaven. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us." And there Paul is using that picture of the Passover to apply it to Christ. He is the perfect Lamb of God, but also to urge the church in Corinth to leave sin, to turn away from sin. Purge out therefore the old leaven. That leaven was like an illustration of sin. The Jews had to clean their houses. All the leaven had to leave their house. So all children of God have to live because of this great sacrifice of Christ, a life in hating sin, in turning away from sin, so that God will be glorified in our lives. And we see the people leaving Egypt, and the Egyptians want them to go. Oh, how mighty is the work of the Lord in delivering His people. They not only want them to go, but they give them all the wealth of Egypt. They spoil Egypt. I thought about it. The wealth of this world has to serve the church, the kingdom of God. And they could use it to prepare the tabernacle and all those precious things of the Lord. But at a certain point, they used it for making an idol, a calf, to dishonor the Lord. Oh, what a difference how we use what the Lord is providing for His service. We use it for idolatry, for the flesh. It leads to destruction. Or do we use it for the glory of God? By gratitude, because of that great saving work received in Christ. Tell me, what does this service mean for you? The service of the Lord's Supper. Is it for you something you look forward to? Because you need that power of Christ to escape from sin, darkness, Satan, idolatry, the depravity of this world, to walk in communion with the Lord. Oh, let it be something that is daily in your life. Let it be something that you seek every moment of your life, to see Christ and Him crucified, so that you here in this life will walk in a way that your heart is in heaven, that you have that assurance that your citizenship is in heaven, and that one day you will be with Him, the Lamb of God. You will see Him like He is and rejoice in Him forever. So tell me, do you know Christ? Do you know salvation? Is your soul saved by the blood of the Lamb? Amen. Let us pray. O Lord, we come before Thee. We pray that Thou would apply the blood of Christ to our hearts, our souls. And Lord, that we may rejoice in Him. Oh, Satan is such a cruel enemy. He has no mercy. He is promising us many things, but He is deceiving our souls. That Christ is such a merciful Savior, such a good Master, oh, such a powerful King. Lord, we pray that Thou would apply this teaching to our hearts. Thou art so good, O Lord. Thou art so merciful. Thou art so worthy to be honored and praised. And Lord, forgive us the many times that we did not look unto Christ, that we tried to find security in ourselves. We tried to find it anywhere else. Try to find joy and fulfillment outside of Christ. Oh Lord, Christ is the light of this world. Let the light of Christ shine in our hearts, in the hearts of our children. Help us to tell them about this miracle of grace and being delivered out of sin and out of darkness to walk in the light. Lord, hear us. Bless Thy word, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.